and she'd just zip out the door before they had a chance to ring the doorbell.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 19 of The Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. Thank you for joining me for another podcast where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Today, I'm super excited to announce a new collaboration between The Alzheimer's Podcast and the Dementia Sherpa. Starting today and every other Tuesday, Christy Turner, the founder of DementiaSherpa.com, will join me for a discussion to help empower you to be successful as you care for someone living with dementia. We're calling this series Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa. If you listened to episode 15 on resolving dementia behaviors without medications, or you follow together in this, then it's likely you've already met Christy and are familiar with the high quality of expertise she provides. She is a certified dementia practitioner, certified dementia care unit manager, and cognitive stimulation instructor. She has run award-winning memory care communities and assisted living and skilled nursing levels of care. Using her 16 years of expertise and working with over 1,100 people living with dementia and their families, she's developed a system that helps families move from crisis management to confidence. Now, the holidays are quickly approaching, and while these can be a very challenging time, there is a lot of opportunity to turn these challenges around and create positive times together. So today, Christy and I are going to talk about Halloween and the things you can do to make this a great time for everyone. Hello, Christy, and welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, and I am so excited to be an ongoing part of the Alzheimer's Podcast. This is fantastic.
I, too, am very excited. I think it's a huge opportunity to bring a high level of expertise to our listeners, and I couldn't be more happy to have you as my partner in this. So thank you very much as well. Christy, Halloween is one holiday that I've always wondered if it would be better to simply avoid it altogether because of the scary costumes and the increased traffic. And at my house, the doorbell's going off every 2 or 3 minutes, it seems. So it just seems to me that would be just might be too much for the family. What would you say to someone that might be thinking the same thing?
Well, that is a great question, and that's one of those things that I used to wonder about, too, way back, almost 20 years ago when I started doing this. And so there are a couple of things to keep in mind. Number one is, just like anything else when it comes to dementia, it's always important for our listeners to remember, you are the expert on your loved one. So you know what they like and what they really don't have any tolerance for. So dementia itself does not cause some major personality transplant, right? So if somebody always enjoyed little kids and got a kick out of them, then it's likely they still will. And there are some strategies you can put in place to make sure that they're able to continue to enjoy something like Halloween. If not, if your person always kind of got overwhelmed by a lot of people around, or would get kind of easily irritated or agitated by repeated things like doorbells or kind of, you know, a roaming group of kids, then they're not magically going to start loving it, right?
Okay.
So that's the first thing to keep in mind, is what's that baseline personality? The second thing is shift the focus. So over the years, we've watched Halloween become more and more popular for grown-ups, and horror movies come out and things like that. So we definitely do not want to be engaged with that. Horror movies are not appropriate, because one of the things that happens in a brain with dementia is visual perceptions become distorted. So people can have some difficulty discerning between reality and what their brain is telling them. And so we don't want to give their brain any fuel for the fire, so to speak, right? Okay. So no disturbing images or that type of thing. But here's something that happened in my own family, which Halloween's always kind of been a big deal. And my grandpa would always hand out candy and loved it. And so my grandma, his wife, had Alzheimer's disease. And later, we found out that he had Parkinson's disease with dementia. So this was before that, before either of those diagnoses. And they loved it. They loved the kids coming to the door, passing out candy. They would keep track of how many kids they had from year to year so they'd know exactly how much candy to buy, and enjoyed decorating the yard and all of that. So longstanding tradition. Years later, when they both were in the disease process and my mom was their primary care partner, they still enjoyed it, but she really focused on let's go to the pumpkin patch and the hayride, and you know, when they were still able to do those things, and then decorating with fall colors and the fall placemats and napkins and having pumpkin gourds and squash on the table as decoration, and kind of really went more for the fall thing.
Okay.
Rather than focusing in exactly on Halloween. And then when Halloween came around, you know, they'd have the light on for a little while. And then when my mom could tell that they were starting to get overwhelmed, she simply turned off the porch light, put a sign on the door that said, "Sorry, we're out of candy for any stragglers." And that was that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that made it a lot more manageable.
You make a good point that all holidays, if in Halloween as well, there's not just that day and the actual like handing out the candy per se, but there's a whole bunch of stuff going around of, like you mentioned, getting out in the community, going to the pumpkin patch or a hayride. I hadn't even thought about that for Halloween, so that's a really great suggestion there that I think that I think all caregivers should try to embrace if possible.
I just read a really good quote last night, and I can't remember where I saw it, unfortunately. But, I think it was Ian Kremer with the LEAP Coalition. But his point was, don't think outside the box. Think like there isn't a box.
Oh,
so
okay.
Start with, how do you want it to be? What experience do you want to create for your loved one? Start there and then make it happen. Once you know what you want, it's a lot easier to get it.
And the same point for Halloween as with any other issue that a loved one's coping with dementia, is you really, as you said, need to know your loved one and their likes and dislikes, and then tailor or alter your plans as you go based on their reaction and how they're responding to it.
Absolutely. We always want to be looking for real-time feedback, right?
Right.
So one of my go-to stories that I go to time and time again, no matter what time of year it is, but this does have to do with the holidays, is think about for yourself trying to manage Christmas or Hanukkah shopping. And that time of year, traffic is awful. People can be a little cranky. They can be pushing it hard. Days are, you know, the daylight, there's much less of it, but people are trying to get more done
right.
in a shorter period of time. People start getting stressed out, and you can start to feel it yourself, right? So if you're trying to accomplish your holiday shopping and you feel behind the eight ball and traffic is bad and there's a lot of noise and you've heard that same stupid song 40 times in a row, it feels like, you know, and somebody's in the car and they're yak, 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 yak with you, and you're just trying to focus and you realize you kind of have to go to the bathroom, but like two cars at a time are getting through each light and guy behind you is honking like you're somehow in control. It can get super overwhelming, and that's for you. You still have the ability, as a person who's not cognitively impaired, you still have the ability to self-soothe. And that's something people living with dementia lose. So look for feedback in real time. Somebody can be enjoying something, for an hour, and maybe they used to enjoy the experience for 3 hours or an entire evening, and now they don't anymore, and that's okay. Give them that hour of enjoyment, or 30 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, and then pull the plug after that.
Mm-hmm.
Just flexible. And, you know, I think dementia care partners already know that. That's something that we tend to learn very quickly on, that we have to just, I say, keep your neck loose and roll your shoulders. You just have to be flexible and go with the flow.
Okay.
And at the same time that you're being that, that guardian, that protector for your loved one, you want to make sure that they're having great quality of life all the time. And this is one of those ways that you can easily step up and make that happen.
Those are really great points. And one thing, I'm a planner, one thing you've got me thinking, and you mentioned, rather than just focusing on Halloween, focusing on fall. And you can, to help avoid that pressure of trying to get everything done all in 1 or 2 days or the end of the week, you can start that decoration and preparation for the holiday weeks ahead of time, right? You can start with your loved one decorating the house together, for instance.
Absolutely. And, you know, retailers make it increasingly easy for us to do that, right?
Sure,
You can get a pumpkin spice latte now, like at what, the end of August?
That's true.
So you can just start doing a little bit at a time, because that's the thing. We're not looking for perfect action. Imperfect action still moves us forward, right?
True.
So even if it's just one thing, if there's, you know, a way that your house has traditionally looked during the fall, if it's taking out one box, great. If it's putting one different thing on the dining room table, do that. If you do just one thing at a time, you know, one thing a day, at the end of 30 days, you're still going to see 30 different things, right? You'll have accomplished so much more than you think you can. And it's funny, because a lot of times we really focus on what would be overwhelming for our person who's living with dementia. We don't want to do that. And so often we forget about what would be overwhelming for us as the care partner. And the thing is that we really need to remember is, as the care partner, pretty much everything can be overwhelming, because we're trying to manage not only ourselves and our own household and our own lives and careers and whatever it is, marriage, but also another full-grown human being that we love who's living with dementia. So we are taking on a lot of responsibility, and we're going to be more effective in executing that responsibility if we remember to be very kind to ourselves.
True. And as we've discussed before, because emotions are contagious, It's so important to try to work towards that, so that you can, shield your loved one from those emotions and help them not, you know, feel that as well. With Halloween, what would you say are maybe some of the common mistakes or obstacles that a caregiver might make?
I think not beginning with the end in mind, meaning you're not really thinking about it until suddenly it just sneaks up and, oh, it's Halloween, and oh, I guess I better run out and get some candy, and oh yeah, of course I'm going to turn on the porch light, and just not really having a plan for it. And you're a planner, Mike. I'm a planner. Not everybody is like us, and I understand and appreciate that. My mom is like the queen of winging it, and yet she did an amazing job caring for my grandma, who had Alzheimer's disease, for the last 5 years of her life. And she was also my grandpa's primary care partner for 7 years in his disease process. So it can be done either way. I have seen less stress, less tears, and less overwhelm if you do have at least the basic outline of a plan. So for Halloween Day itself, for example, think about, let's always start, you know, with the idea of having a good day, right? But your loved one may be up later than they usually are if you're going to have the porch light on and trick-or-treaters, and you know that's something that they enjoy. So make sure that they get some time to take it easy and rest during the day, right?
Okay.
So that they're not completely overwhelmed, because when we feel sleep deprived, we don't manage our emotions as well as we otherwise would. And for people living with dementia, that's going to be an extra challenge anyway. So just make sure there's some rest time in there during the day. Second thing is, just again, be looking at, are they enjoying this? If they're not enjoying it, if they start showing any signs of this is overwhelming, turn off the porch light, slap a sign on the door, we're out of candy, and call it good. It's over. Hmm. And that's fine.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so a lot of times we just kind of subconsciously, and I do think it's subconsciously, we just think, well, it's Halloween, we have to have our light on, we have to, you know, without really thinking it through. No, you don't have to. You do not have to.
You know, and I try to tell my wife that, because the one thing that gets me is my doorbell. I don't have a lot of people coming to my house, I mean, outside of Halloween. So when the doorbell rings, I almost always jump. And I know my cats freak out. So I think for me, one of my hesitations of having that porch light on is that darn doorbell. So I have to go out. I always want to go out and just tape it. But what I actually do is I put a piece of tape in the doorbell itself so it's not as loud.
I think that's a great solution. Another thing to think about long term is you can get different types of doorbells. Mm-hmm. So some of them will play like a little musical tune.
Right?
You can set the volume how you'd like to set it. Another popular thing, which isn't strictly true, but is sort of universally understood, is putting a note on that saying sleeping baby inside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And people just kind of universally like, I'm not messing with that. They know that. So whether you have a baby in your house or not, you don't have to explain you have somebody living with dementia or whatever. People understand if you put the word baby next to a doorbell, that's a no-no. So that's another one to think about.
True.
And the other thing is, if Halloween is like really something that you enjoy, and that your loved one maybe really doesn't, and there's another person in the house that can be with them, great. Maybe you're kind of standing on the porch greeting people before they have a chance to ring the doorbell.
Right.
That's one thing. Another thing to think about is hearing loss is very highly correlated with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So your loved one may not have the same reaction to a doorbell that you would.
Okay.
Because the sound may not, there's a pretty good chance the sound isn't coming through for them in the way it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And for folks who wear hearing aids, this is a good opportunity to turn down the volume on the hearing aids.
Okay.
And for some people, I've had a couple of clients like this over the years that would even do it at dinner. They'd take out their hearing aids. And I asked one later, why did you do that? And he said, oh, I don't like that lady that I sit with. And she just goes on and on. So I just take out my hearing aids and then I can just smile and nod.
Oh, no. Oh,
which my. I thought was a great strategy. But so there are different things that, sure, that you can do that way also.
Sure. So, and it's not only the doorbell that might affect somebody, right? But let's talk about the different costumes and how, as maybe professionals versus family members, and maybe even the people coming to the door. You mentioned maybe having someone out front kind of filtering people almost, or that maybe that's not exactly what you said, but I thought that was a good idea.
How weird did it at my parents' house was there's a window where you could look from the dining room onto the porch. So that gave a great preview. And my mom would have the little table set up with the candy dish right there. So she would sit there and watch who was coming and then say, oh, Daddy, come over here. Look at this. This is a cute one. It's a little pirate, right? You've got to come see this. Why don't you give him a candy? And so she would announce who was coming. And if it was older kids, like, you know, the older teenagers dressed as zombies or something like that, she'd just say, oh, I'll get this one. And she'd just zip out the door before they had a chance to ring the doorbell.
That's a great idea.
So that's one good strategy. Another is, of course, not everybody's loved one living with dementia lives at home.
Right.
So it may be that they live in a memory care community or some other type of care community. And if that's the case, that's actually great news because they tend to make it more of a harvest celebration, right? But on Halloween itself, typically what happens is the community will invite the nearest elementary school to come over, have the kids come over and trick or treat after school.
Oh, okay.
So they turn it into like a Halloween parade. And if there's not a nearby school, they have the staff and, you know, sometimes both, of course, they have the staff bring their kids in dressed up for Halloween. And so they do a little parade and the community will give the residents candy to pass out. And so the children do a parade and they go room to room and trick or treat. So it's safe for the children. And of course, it's safe for the people who are living there too. And it's fun. And it's more of a party atmosphere, right? You have a parade, a little trick or treating. There's bobbing for apples or let's make hot cider. How about some hot chocolate with marshmallows? Pin the tail on the donkey, that kind of thing. So it's really just using your imagination. How do you want to make this fun and also acknowledge that there's this thing going on and there's some buzz going on about it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's that really just brings a smile to people's faces. And what I found, and I worked in inside buildings for over 10 years, is that typically people, whether they're living with dementia or not, but typically older adults just really enjoy children, especially when they're dressed up for an occasion or something like that. It brings happy memories of when their own kids were young, and it just generates a lot of good feelings. So
yeah, that's wonderful. And I think more and more communities and cities are embracing intergenerational activities. So I don't know if 20 years ago it was as easy to get an elementary school to participate or not, but I would think today it's becoming much more normal, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. And then another thing, another change that I've seen is with faith communities often have an event called Trunk or Treat.
Okay.
Rather than trick or treat. And so the idea is they go from car to car in the church parking lot, right? And there's trunk with candy, you know? So that's another fun thing is getting involved in some of those faith-based, you know, so your church or synagogue, if they're hosting something, or mosque, if they're hosting something, go there and enjoy that, you know, if that's something that your person can still do, if you're able to help them get in and out of a car, that's another fun thing to do.
That's awesome.
And sometimes it's just a really simple thing. I do remember this when it got past the point where, you know, my grandparents enjoyed being at the door and really could understand what was going on. My mom would hit the drive-thru and bring them back a milkshake.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, it's a fun little treat.
Right.
Isn't this great?
That's great. That is wonderful. And as you go back, you know, we always go back to just being flexible, as you mentioned, and adapting to the situation and not trying to put a rigid plan in place. Although we want to plan, we want to have it be a flexible plan.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, for older teenagers and adults that are really into Halloween as a fun time to party, but are more likely to dress as, you know, Freddy Krueger or a zombie or whatever, they really, something for us to remember and keep in mind is they're typically not going to be offended when we as family members tell them, I need you to either come by before you get in costume or not come by, because that's going to be upsetting to grandma and grandpa.
Right, right. That's good.
You know, that's easy. They're easily able to process that information, right?
Right.
You should be educating them about the disease anyway. They should have picked up some things along the way. And the truth is, they're typically more interested in getting to their party anyway. So, you know, not a big deal.
Now I'm having some flashbacks. No. But you're right. It is. So as we wrap up this episode, Christy, we're coming towards the end. Do you have any other advice or wisdom that you'd like to share before we end the conversation?
Well, as you know, Mike, I am a chatty Kathy. I love talking about all things related to dementia and sharing what I know in a way that I hope is really helpful to people. One of the things that I've done to try and capture a lot of that is I put together a holiday guide. So it's called Successfully Navigating the Holidays, and it's like a 45-page ebook, and it goes through a lot of different topics related to the holidays, things that a lot of times you forget about. So it's all in one spot, and people can get that for free. All they need to do is go to dementiasherpa.com/holidays, and they just put in their email address, and then it lands right in their inbox. So that might be a good resource for our listeners.
Yeah, I've looked it over, and I think it's an excellent resource that all care partners should download and utilize.
Well, thank you.
So back to my original question in the beginning, which was maybe we should just avoid the Halloween holiday altogether. Now I realize that, hey, we need to not avoid it, but embrace it. But approach it with a plan, approach it with some organization and common sense, if you will, and not doing the Freddy Krueger outfits and not rushing things at the very end, and including family to help us with that team approach. And the main thing I really like the idea of is having it be more about fall. And maybe, you know, starting a couple weeks early, and just because Halloween's over doesn't mean you have to take down all your decorations, right? You can continue.
Right. One thing that we do at my house is we have the little the stick scarecrows.
Okay. Right.
At the end of the walkway there up to the house, because it's fun and it's fall and you can start putting those things out in September, and it takes you right through Thanksgiving too.
True.
So when we just kind of start thinking about that whole vibe and what does fall feel like to us and what does it smell like, and what are some special treats that we will have at that time of year that aren't so appealing at summer or spring, like, again, mulled apple cider. Super easy to do. You can have your loved one help you with stirring it. Makes the house smell great. It's a fun treat. So there's just a lot that we can do. And I think hopefully it's coming through in my voice, but I've been smiling throughout this because I'm getting excited thinking about all of the fun that you can have and all of the good feelings that it generates.
Right. That's right. It does generate a lot of good feelings. So, well, I think that was a really excellent conversation, especially for our first new episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa. But that does conclude our conversation on Halloween with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa. So be sure to visit Christy's website at dementiasherpa.com, and you'll find a link as well as all the referenced resources in the show notes at togetherinthis.com/episode19. Subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. And don't forget, Christy will be back every other Tuesday for a new episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa, right here on The Alzheimer's Podcast. Bye now.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.